This week in security, there's a Cloudflare bug that has exposed a ton of customer secret data, but it was just random. Like the bug in terms of like what it exposed was kind of random, and Cloudflare was pretty on top of it, even though it happened over a weekend.
Yeah, it was just memory dumps. So you would just randomly get post information and, you know, basically whatever was in the memory. Didn't necessarily have anything to do with your session. It was just random. This security researcher just lucked into getting some, I think it was just request data. So he was able to get some identifying stuff. I was like, oh, wow, look, this is a problem. And they did patch it immediately. It had something to do with the, what was the service they were using to obfuscate email addresses, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so they just turned that on.
This is not the first time that they've had an issue with this this obfuscation thing. I think we reported 6 months or 8 months ago a similar issue with Cloudflare. And so this issue has cropped up again. So I think that they'll probably take better measures to deal with this.
It's funny because they were actually trying to take a step to improve security and expose memory. I think there might have been a little tracking in there too, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Cloudflare is selling some data.
Those bastards. Apple has moved to store iCloud keys in China. And so this is raising human rights fears. And you may be thinking, it's like, wait. So all China, Apple is moving iCloud users that are in China to Chinese servers. I mean, that seems reasonable, right? Well, not really, not when you really think about it. And this isn't really being covered in the media anywhere.
Well, this is, you know, I suppose this is an argument. It's sort of like the world police thing. Do we have the gall to tell the Chinese government that it shouldn't be spying on its citizens? What are we doing? Again, I've said this before. China's just honest about it. You know, they're right. They're up front. They tell you what they're going to do. It's probably a little more
invasive and personal.
I would say comprehensive is the word I would use about the Chinese spying versus the United States spying. But they passed a law. Apple is not really, they're not like playing ball with China. China said, hey, if you want iCloud in China, it must be hosted in China, and you have to use this state-sponsored cloud storage partner. And so Apple, you either do it or you lose the business. And there's a lot of people in China that want iPhones, so of course they're going to do it.
Now, the thing with the encryption keys is that you use those for signing things. So say you're an app developer and you develop stuff for the App Store for Apple, you sign your application using cryptographic keys. And by default, it comes up and it says, hey, do you want to store these keys in the cloud? Because they're really super important. And so everything is kept on your iCloud keychain. Now, you can keep the encryption keys locally. That is still an option, as far as I know, even in the Chinese version of the software. But the fact that your encryption keys are stored in the cloud is kind of bad news, because if the cloud is compromised, you will lose anything that you've secured with those keys.
Yeah, and I think it goes without saying that the Chinese government will peruse that data whenever they feel like it. You know, that's sort of the argument here.
This is literally the end runaround. Like, we're always mocking the American politicians for asking for a backdoor for encryption. This is a mechanism for how they could do that, because you've always got access to the encryption keys that people are actually using on that iCloud server. Of course, if criminals manage to break into that iCloud server, they're going to have access to the same data as well.
Yeah. So maybe the cloud's not a great idea. Maybe stay away from that, especially if you're Chinese.
Especially if you want to store your encryption key somewhere. No, the cloud is probably not a good idea unless those are also encrypted with a key that's not in the cloud. That's the critical part.
Of course, you know, they'll just kidnap you and waterboard you instead of
deal with
that case.
So. Yeah! T-Mobile has had a bad week. They have had a critical bug that allowed anybody to hijack users' accounts. So this is just a bug in their website because, again, doing stuff in production, there's no dev server, and we have to have it yesterday. We can't bother planning things properly.
The problem here, of course, is you use your email to validate that you are you for a lot of services to sign up for things, and bad actors could use this to impersonate you with your phone number and easily get that confirmation. And it's like, oh yeah, here's my code for my T-Mobile number, and do whatever they want.
Now, you may be thinking, all these security things that are coming out? Is there anything that I can do to protect myself? Is there anything I can do to stay on top of it? There's a great website, Have I Been Pwned, where you can check and put in your email address and that sort of thing. But the bigger question is, what about your passwords? Because can you check and see if your password has been compromised without actually sending your password to a third party? Well, now you can. You can send your this great article on Ars Technica. You can find out if your password has been pwned without actually sending it to a server. It's just going to hash the first five characters of your password, and then it's going to compare that hash to other password hashes that are in the cloud that are maintained by a security researcher. So it seems like the best of both worlds.
Well, I'm surprised nobody thought of this before, because the trick here is it takes those first five and requests every password that the server has that matches those first five, sends them back to you, and then client side, you determine if you are in that list. So your entire password never gets sent. That's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's a great approach. And we will definitely have to do this kind of stuff going forward because, you know, I could just see in a future, like, you know, Windows 12 or Linux, whatever, it's like you log in and it's like, oh, we need to change your password. This password is detected on the dark web.
Yeah. Now, of course, there could be collisions there because some people are going to use the same password.
Yes.
So for finding out if you're on a list, it's fine. It would have more limitations in an authentication type scenario, but still a very simple solution that brilliantly solves a problem. So kudos for that.
Now, also in security news, a lot of really interesting stats are coming out of 2017. So, you know, historically, you remember a time when viruses were just pranks, and it was like, all right, yes, Bob is leet. Let's remove this virus.
Turn off the valves.
Yeah. and then it was sort of, let's send spam. And that one, that was like the next peak. And now it's, let's mine cryptocurrency. So Internet of Things, malware, 49% mining crypto. So the baby monitors that are shutting off the heat in Montana, they're mining crypto.
It's, you could argue that this is one of the least malicious kinds of attacks, though.
It's kind of a denial of service for use of your device, though, because it's like, I really would like to put this meat in the crock pot. The crock pot's like, nope, busy mining crypto.
But what they often do, you find, is they'll gear it down. They'll do like a 30% hit on your CPU because they don't want to be detected.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that, you know, if you're at 100%, people's going to be like, oh, what's going on here? So, you know, that versus getting your identity stolen or your files encrypted and ransomwared, that's pretty benign.
So what you're telling me is that the internet is awash in those guys at intersections in like New York City where they're like, they've got the grimy spray bottle and they spray your windshield and then they demand a dollar and all of your devices are currently contending with those kind of panhandlers.
Well, I don't think that's not the best analog because you can't really say no to it.
Have you ever tried to say no to one of those guys? It's really scary.
Maybe it's more like the government is paying those guys. Now, somewhere, somebody along the line, like the crypto markets are being affected by this, and there's some knock-on effects. But still, I would say one of the least malicious ways that a hacker can extract money from you.
As opposed to, you know, like ransom. It's like, well, you know, I could hold your crock pot for ransom, but instead, I'm just going to crypto mine it.
Here, I'll give you the perfect analogy. It's like the window washer guys. Like you've got an outside outlet on your house. You know, most houses have those. They're charging their iPhone at your outlet because they're just stealing a little bit of your electricity. That's exactly what these people are doing to you.
I know people that have deployed like anti-homeless spikes in the city and stuff like that because it's like, no, you will not steal my iPhone's worth of electricity, which does seem a little excessive. I mean,
well, on a large enough scale, if all of your devices are doing it, you know, if they plugged in 50 iPhones to your house, if they had, you know, a big power strip out there, maybe that's a problem.
So what you're saying is we should create a new charity where you voluntarily infect your IoT devices with malware, but it goes to help the homeless.
How about you do like a, you know how they have like the support the troops little ribbons? So you have some sort of emblem or logo and it's connected to a little box that just plugs in. So everybody can see on your home, it's like, oh, they support whatever. They're a good person. I guarantee, maybe we should do that. That's a really good idea. And that box just, you know, it's using their electricity to mine something and wirelessly transmitting it back. And it's outside, so it's not creating heat in the home.
You know, cryptocurrency is scary enough to the establishment that in Poland, the banking organization in Poland, Poland Central Bank System, has been accused of hiring YouTubers to start a smear campaign against cryptocurrencies. They're paying $27,300 on a marketing campaign designed to undermine cryptocurrency and say that it's too volatile, it's unstable, you shouldn't mess with it. It's the devil.
So this, I guess this guy is sort of similar to, what was the dude that tased the rat?
Logan Paul?
Yeah, yeah. This is like the Polish Logan Paul. And he was paid to make a video that was sort of like, oh no, I've lost all my money to cryptocurrency. You know, that type of thing. And the Polish Central Bank did admit that they funded that. Yeah. It's funny because all of the banks are, of course, doing their own blockchain. But you can tell, like with the whole Jamie Dimon, like, no, this, and the other guy, the Goldman guy, said they were all going to zero except for one or two. They are clearly terrified of course, this is alternative money.
Yeah.
This is the death of banking if everybody got on board. So they're right to be terrified of it.
We'll have I think we've got a story about that a little bit later in the program or in the next program or something, because it was like JP Morgan was like, we need to get on top of this cryptocurrency thing because it's going to undermine our profits. That was actually a thing in a shareholder meeting.
Yeah. Well, you know, you, in the banking world, in the investment world, you have to be forward thinking. You have to sort of see the changes before they come or you'll get wiped out. And I'm sure they have a lot of guys who are very seasoned. It's like, no, this is the real, this is terrifying. We must stop this.
Remember the Pirate Bay and its Swedish origins? Those guys were not forward thinking. Sweden is considering 6 years in jail for online pirates. So Sweden has sort of become the polar opposite. You know, in the beginning, Sweden had the, sort of the reasonable position of, hey, the Pirate Bay is just linking to pirated material. It's not actually hosting pirated material, which technically under the law is fine, to putting the guys that started the Pirate Bay in jail for like forever and then they escaped and blah, blah, blah. And so Sweden is like, okay, let's close the loophole here. Let's just say pirates should go to jail for 6 years. Seems like overcompensation.
It's 6 months to 6 years. They talked about, so there's two levels. There's like regular copyright violation and there's gross copyright violation. But they made the distinction that the Pirate Bay example would be the worst kind of gross copyright.
6 years it is.
Yeah, so that would be definitely 6 years. Plus, they consider the monetary losses that you might have caused. Of course, the argument is always, if you stole it, you would have bought it, which
doesn't make sense.
It's rarely the case.
We're just waiting for our next tab to load. Oh, yeah, Bell. Bell Canada is pushing employees to AstroTurf for website filters. So this is a memo or something that the company has sent around to its employees saying, we need you to encourage website filters because that is the only way that we're going to be able to combat piracy and letting people get to stuff online that they otherwise should not have access to.
Now, of course, this is the worst kind of anti-piracy. This is the proactive. We, as the ISP, who happens to be a media company almost every time, decide when something offends, and we just take it down. It just stops existing. And they put up some questionnaires, much like our FCC net neutrality. You know, it's like, hey, why don't you weigh in? And amazingly, it was 99% negative. People were not fans of the filtering. So in a desperation to get some positive comments in there, they basically told their employees they had to be positive.
I can't imagine anybody but me deciding, you know, which books are books that I should and should not read. I mean, it's just information. What's the big deal?
Well, I think the public school system is deciding that constantly now. Because when you've lost anything that has any sort of sexuality, you've lost any kind of racial, like the Huckleberry Finn, the racial slur stuff. What are the other big ones? I think To Kill a Mockingbird is gone.
Wow.
Yeah. It's that's clearly another step up, but somebody in Bell Canada blew the whistle, so hopefully somebody, I don't know what kind of laws Canada has about that.